Chunk of the service. Tracy's going to come and read our passage. Slightly odd having a carol service and we're back in Genesis, as it were. Tracy, come and speak to us, and then Kate is going to come and preach to us. Let me pray for you both. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it spoke to them back then, and it still speaks the truth to us today and reveals who you are today, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So the reading comes from Genesis chapter 50, reading verses 15 to 26. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When the message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear on oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Good evening. I want to start this evening by asking you a question. Have you got anything in your life that is unresolved? Because we like the idea that every cloud has a silver lining. Every difficult path we walk down leads to a place of sunshine. There's no bad that can happen in our lives that won't end up with something good happening after it. And I wonder what you're thinking of, because life's hard. And actually, although we like the idea of that, it isn't always the reality for us, is it? Sometimes something will happen in our lives, or we might have something in our past that we have lived through which has not been resolved, which has not been made right, where we're still journeying through the difficulty. Or maybe we're many years on, but there's still a little niggle about that relationship that hasn't been restored, that argument that hasn't been made up. Or maybe you know someone, or you're going through something now, and you know it will never be made right. When I think about this now, I think of the three people I know at the moment who have incurable cancer, and they are waiting for their lives to end, and they know that a miraculous healing is probably not going to happen. Well, how do they wait in that? What is God saying about that? Well, that's what we're going to think about tonight in our passage from the book of Genesis. As Will said, it's a slightly unusual passage to have at a carol service, but don't worry, I think it will work perfectly. We've been doing the life of Joseph. You may have watched Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is a great family favorite. Joseph has been betrayed by his brothers. He's been sold into slavery. He's gone to Egypt. He ends up in prison. Then he gets out of prison because he has this amazing ability to interpret dreams. He becomes the number two in Egypt. He gets them ready for a big famine. His brothers come because they're starving, and they find food, and they find their brother who they thought was dead. And there's a family reunion. That's everything that has happened so far. So here, as we end the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, I think that there are two tensions which are unresolved as we enter our passage in Genesis 50. The first of these is a family tension. Can the brothers' relationship with each other survive? There's been reconciliation, but is it lasting? Or will the kind of the hatred that they had towards Joseph, will it come out again after Jacob has died? And the other one is a geographical question. Because before Jacob dies, God says to him, your descendants will inherit the promised land. But they're in Egypt. So how are they going to get to the promised land? So keep those two questions in your mind as we start. And our passage begins with the brothers coming to Jacob with a request which they says is what Jacob had said to them on his deathbed. And they say this, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. They come to him and they say, please, please will you guarantee that you have forgiven us? Because they're worried that with Jacob being dead, the hatred is going to come up again. Now, one thing, which is actually one of my favorite things about being ordained, is helping families prepare for funerals. But there can be a lot of conflict in families. But what I've seen is that a family can come together, and a brother and a sister who hate each other and haven't spoken for many years, they can plan a funeral. They can bury their mother or their father. But then as you see them walking away from the burial plot, you watch one side of the family go off one way and the other side of the family go off the other way. And you know that that conflict is still there and it hasn't been resolved. And I think that's what the brothers are worried about. They're worried that this isn't a true forgiveness and that now Jacob has died, it's all going to come to the surface again. But what is it that Joseph says in return? If you have the passage open, then look down with me to verse 19. Joseph reassures them, don't be afraid. He says, don't worry. I have forgiven you. And his actions towards them in the previous chapters show that. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph has forgiven them. But not only has Joseph forgiven them, but Joseph can see the way that God used their behavior towards him as a way of bringing about the saving of many lives. He can see the big picture. Look with me at this first picture on the screen. And what do you see? Look at this picture and you see people in peril. People who are crossing the channel in a small dinghy and who are crying out for help. But now look at this second picture. Because actually a great saving is taking place. Because someone from the lifeboats is there and he's going to put them on a bigger boat and they are safe. Joseph could see the bigger picture. Joseph could see God's big picture, that God was at work to bring the saving of many lives. And the saving was the saving of his brothers and their families from the famine. So that's our first family tension dealt with. But what about this question of location, of geography, of the promised land? Well, if we look down further towards the end of the passage, Joseph is dying and he says to his brothers, "But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." As I said, Jacob was told before he died that his descendants would make it to the promised land. And Joseph believes this too. He believes that the Israelites will leave Egypt, and from Egypt, they will make it to the promised land. And this is the second saving that is taking place. They've been saved from the famine, and also their descendants will be saved and taken into the promised land. And how are we to think of their time in Egypt? Well, in 2018, I went on holiday to the Seychelles. They are beautiful. Imagine, if you will, golden sands leading down to tropical warm sea. You're swimming along. It's a turtle. You're swimming along. You found Nemo. Honestly, it was absolutely beautiful. But in order to get to this tropical paradise, I had a layover in Addis Ababa Airport. Now, Addis Ababa Airport is not a great airport. There's not a lot going on in the airport when you're there for 10 hours. It's kind of one circuit and then you're done. And I think that's how we can think of Egypt. Egypt was like a layover before they got to the perfection of the promised land. And Joseph is really clear with his brothers. He knows that what they did to him was really bad. And he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." God intended it for good, for the saving of their lives. Firstly, to save their family from the famine. And secondly, to save the Israelite people and bring them into their inheritance in the promised land. So what does this passage teach us? It teaches us that God can bring good from difficult situations. Now, Jo amazingly shared her testimony with us. And God healed her. And that was miraculous and wonderful, and we know that God can do that. But she also shared about her sister, who wasn't healed and who has lived a life which has been really difficult and really painful. But when we were chatting on the phone yesterday, Jo was telling me all the ways in which her sister has been drawn closer to God, and she shared so much of God with other people through this difficult and painful journey that she's been on. Because God can bring good from difficult situations. God can bring good from the darkest and bleakest and most difficult of times that we might go through. And at Christmas, we remember that Jesus was born in a stable, and we remember him as a baby, an innocent baby born to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem. But when we think of that at Christmas, we must always have in our minds that 33 years later, evil men will accuse, God's Son of crimes that he has not committed. They will beat him. They will mock him. They will force him to carry a cross, and he will die next to two criminals, a death that was the most painful death a human could endure. Those men wanted to harm Jesus. But miraculously, amazingly, God brought good out of it for the saving of all of our lives, because through that harm that was brought to Jesus, we are able to know God because he died in our place. We are able to have a relationship with the God who made the world, who knit us together in our mother's womb. They meant it for harm, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. So what's the invitation for us today, tonight? We are being asked to put our trust in a God who will bring good from the difficulties that we go through. And he's asking us if we will trust that to him. Well, what does that look like for us? Well, there's a woman called Corrie ten Boom, and she lived in Haarlem in the Netherlands in the Second World War. And she and her father and her sister hid Jews. They were caught. They were sent to a concentration camp. And she wrote a book where she tells a story of sitting on the bunk beds in their in the place that they were living. And her sister Betsy is saying, God tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Corrie, we need to look around this concentration camp and we need to thank God for everything that's here. And one of the things that was present in their beds and in their bedding was fleas. And Betsy insisted in thanking God for fleas. I can't imagine anything more horrific and unimaginable than being in that situation and being willing to thank God for fleas. But actually, because of the fleas, the prison guards would not go into their block because they didn't want to catch fleas. And that meant that Betsy and her sister could freely pray and they could freely share the hope of their faith with the other women who were living alongside them. They were in a dark and bleak and horrific place, but God was able to bring good out of it. Well, what would it look like for us today to trust God and to say yes to this invitation that God offers us of trusting him that good can come out of darkness? Well, I think one thing you might do is, if you're going through a difficult time, you could share it with someone else who knows God. You could pray together regularly. You could write down some Bible verses or find a prayer which really encourages you and maybe write it down and put it up somewhere in your house. And if you're here tonight and you know that you haven't met God yet, but you're interested, you think, do you know what? I would like to have a relationship with God who says that I can trust him no matter how difficult my life is. Jo said that knowing Jesus has changed her life. I know that I would say that knowing Jesus has changed my life and has helped me to get through the difficult times that I have been through. Well, please, at the end of the service, come and chat to me. Come and chat to Joe. Come and chat to Will. And as Will said, we're going to run an alpha course next term for people who want to find out more, who want to ask some questions of what would it look like to have a relationship with a God who says that he can bring good out of painful times. Because imagine having the patience to go through suffering. Imagine having the peace to go through suffering. And imagine journeying through your life side by side with a God who promises that he can bring good out of harm. Joseph's brothers wanted to bring harm to it, but God used the life of Joseph to bring about the saving of many lives. His family and then his descendants as they were saved from slavery in Egypt. And as I said, at Christmas, we think of Jesus and we remember that Jesus was born as a baby in a stable. We'll have the crib service next week and we'll see all the little kiddies come up as angels and shepherds. And we'll remember this moment of Jesus being born in the world. But we must never forget that years later, Jesus would die on a cross, painfully abandoned by everyone who he thought loved him. Men wanted harm against Jesus. But from that moment, God brought about the saving freely offered to every single one of us, which actually is the greatest gift that we could ever be given. And one thing I noticed that Joe spoke about was the idea of a tapestry, and the idea that behind a tapestry was kind of mess, but actually you turned it round and it was really beautiful. And that's such a powerful image for us of God at work. And I brought this along with me, which I did not make, but my mum knitted this. It is a carol singing penguin, of course, and it's a present for a friend of mine. And a little bit like what Joe said, and actually I was gonna bring a tapestry, but I forgot. This penguin is just different bits of wool. Black wool, red wool, orange wool, yellow wool, green wool, white wool. But it's been knit together to make something spectacular. A carol singing penguin. And God is far greater than that. Knitting together the mess that we can see in our lives and bringing something beautiful from it. And as the band comes up now, I am going to say a prayer. Why don't you stand with me as I pray? And we can invite... Oh, thank you, Lara. And as Christians, we believe that God is with us when we worship him. So I am going to invite God to be with us now and to be helping us to think about what we might want to take from this talk, from Joseph's life, as we move forward in our own relationship with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Joseph, for the fact that you brought good from the harm that was intended towards Joseph. Thank you that you can knit together the biggest messes that we might ever experience or see in someone's life, and you can bring beauty and good out of them. And I just pray that you would show us now if that is something that we might invite you to be doing in our hearts today. Amen.